I'm a fire, fever, yea, I burn forsooth.
My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA Catskill and Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report for Thursday, March 19th. From Melissa Harris of the River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley. Go to therivernewsroom.com or theotherhudsonvalley.com for more information. This is a roundup of coronavirus news and announcements from New York State and Hudson Valley and Catskill counties, published Wednesday, March 18th, in collaboration with the Other Hudson Valley, and broadcast on WGXC 90.7 FM. There's also a Spanish language translation of the River Newsroom Daily Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report at La Voz, a Spanish language news magazine. In New York State, there are now 2,382 confirmed cases. That's 1,008 new cases in New York State. The most sobering headlines today revolve around the recent public release of a report from a team of researchers at the Imperial College in London. The New York Times is calling it, quote, the virus report that jarred the U.S. and the U.K. to action, unquote. And it's not hard to see why. The report was issued by a team with an impeccable reputation and a history of driving public policy, and it predicts up to 2.2 million deaths in the U.S. if no action is taken to halt the uncontrolled spread of coronavirus. Equally sobering is the report's estimate that widespread social distancing measures would be needed until a vaccine can be treated, process that may take 18 months. A breakthrough in treatment could change that, but so far none has emerged. A federal coronavirus bill held up since March 16th has finally passed the U.S. Senate. President Donald Trump signed it on Wednesday, March 18th. Also announced by New York State on March 18th, a 1,000-bed hospital ship, the USS Comfort, is being deployed to New York Harbor, though the ship likely won't arrive for weeks because it's undergoing repairs. Governor Andrew Cuomo has issued an executive order directing all businesses in the state to enact work-from-home policies effective March 20th. All non-essential businesses are forbidden to have more than 50% of their workforce in office. Quote, essential businesses, unquote, including shipping, delivery, grocery stores, pharmacies, banks, and important businesses in supply chains. It also includes media, although a lot of reporters are already working from home. Having made nice with the Trump administration, Cuomo is now feuding with New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. This time it's because the mayor has indicated that he wants to enact a, quote, shelter-in-place, unquote, policy for New Yorkers, like those already in place on the West Coast, an idea the governor has shot down. Quote, I have no interest whatsoever and no plan whatsoever to quarantine any city, unquote, Cuomo said in a press briefing. This might be good news for less affected upstate communities. If New Yorkers don't fear getting stuck in one place, they might be less likely to flee for the hills. Cuomo also announced that bowling alleys, malls, and indoor amusement parks statewide will close as of 8 p.m. on March 19th. Like other closures announced in recent days, the move was done in conjunction with Connecticut and New Jersey. The idea of sending every American a chunk of cash to weather the coming storm continues to pick up in popularity on both sides of the aisle. A lab at Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, which has been disease testing ticks mailed to them anywhere in New York State for free, announced the suspension of the tick program. Lab scientists advise that if you find a tick, don't mail it to them. Keep it in the freezer, quote, until we are back to normal working conditions, unquote. In Westchester County, there are 538 cases confirmed, 158 new. Confirmed cases in New York City more than doubled between March 17th and March 18th state briefings, jumping from 644 to 1,339. After the briefing, New York City officials announced that they were up to 1,871. Meanwhile, Westchester's confirmed increased by less precipitous 42%, from 380 to 538. Does the slower increase in Westchester County mean that testing is more complete there? Is the virus actually spreading faster in the city? Are social distancing measures working in Westchester? These are questions for an epidemiologist. If we find an expert weighing in on them, we'll let you know. Westchester Medical Center, the network that runs Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley Hospitals and Assisted Living Centers, announced a drive-in testing facility at their flagship hospital starting Wednesday, March 18th, for current and former patients. Testing is by appointment. The New Rochelle attorney, who was the first known case in what became a cluster of COVID-19 cases in Westchester County, is recovering. Though still at hospital, he is alert and FaceTiming with his wife, who is in quarantine. He was in serious condition last month at a New York City hospital. There have been 550 hospitalizations in the state from COVID-19, and more than 100 people who tested positive have recovered, according to Cuomo. The Wall Street Journal joined other high-profile publications in paying a visit to the New Rochelle containment zone. The Wall Street Journal's coronavirus coverage, which is still locked behind a paywall, so you can't find out what they found. Rockland County officials there now have 45 cases of COVID-19 in the county, and they released additional information of where they may have exposed others. Those at the following locations, so they have that listed on their website in Rockland County. There are 9 cases, 1 new in Ulster County. The county is having to deal with a limited amount of COVID-19 test kits after receiving only 200 of the 2,000 it had requested. An Ulster County resident who thought he might have the virus after developing a cough and a mild fever was told March 16th he could not be given a timeline when the test could be performed. On March 17th, he was told his symptoms didn't qualify. The federal government produces the kits, which are distributed through the state. County Executive Pat Ryan announced that Ulster County would have a mobile testing site by March 23rd during an online town hall broadcast on WGXC. 9 residents have been confirmed to have COVID-19 in Ulster County, while 114 have been tested. The proposed site cannot test everyone who wants the test because of the scarcity of kits. Ryan said the county would prioritize based on exposure, vulnerability, and symptoms. In the town hall, Ryan also said that the number of infections in Ulster County could be as high as, quote, 100 times, unquote, the number already detected. That estimate needs context. The study published March 16th in Science estimated the number of undiagnosed cases in the U.S. to be roughly 5 to 10 times higher than the number of confirmed cases. The more testing is done, the better epidemiologists will be able to estimate how many people are infected. In Orange County, there are 32 confirmed cases, 17 new. Schools in the county are likely to be closed for at least 4 weeks, according to County Executive Steve Newhouse. Farmers in the Black Dirt region are seeing a boom in business as demand grows for produce during food hoarding. In Dutchess County, there are 20 cases, 4 new. In a public briefing March 18th, in which he took live calls from county residents. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro told listeners that daycare workers were essentially being called upon to be first responders, taking care of children of healthcare workers on the front lines. Quote, if moms or dads who are nurses or doctors or 9/11 dispatchers don't have childcare, the system breaks down, unquote, he said. Video from the event is posted on the county's Facebook page. The county will host another call-in session for businesses on Friday. Like restaurants across the state, Dutchess County restaurants are having to lay off workers due to, quote, takeout-only, unquote, policy ordered by Governor Andrew Cuomo on March 16th to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Bars have been hit even harder. In Delaware County, there is one case confirmed. March 19th at 8 a.m., WIOX in Roxbury broadcast on 91.3 FM in Delaware County and online at WIOXradio.org. Kent Garrett's morning show, The 801, will broadcast an interview with Diana Mason, a nurse and health journalist who writes for the Journal of the American Medical Association. Diana will be appearing regularly on WIOX during the coronavirus crisis. In Columbia County, there are still zero cases confirmed. The Columbia Memorial Health COVID-19 hotline is 518-828-8249. The County Department of Health said that the coronavirus test kits remained limited a week after a woman in the county was told there was no available test. The woman eventually tested negative. The federal government bungled the rollout of the test, causing a three-week delay in getting them to the states, and test kits have been limited since then. A spokesperson for Columbia Memorial Health, the only hospital in Columbia and Greene counties, said they currently have enough COVID-19 test kits, but an increase in demand could be problematic without additional supplies. This comes after Albany Medical Center said today they had 2 to 3 day supply of test kits left, and Ellis Hospital in Schenectady County ran out. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson announced on Facebook that he was suspending the use of parking meters and waiving late fees on parking tickets given after February 1st as part of the amended emergency order. In Greene County, officials had no news updates on Wednesday, March 18th. In Putnam County, there are 2 cases confirmed, but 0 new. Putnam County Executive Mary Ellen O'Dell warned against the scourge of coronavirus scams spreading via email, social media, by text, and by phone call, according to a press release issued today. Putnam residents reported receiving phone calls claiming to be from the federal government and offering to send a coronavirus test kit to their homes if they share their name, address, and social security number. Quote, if you get this call, just hang up, unquote, the release advised. In Sullivan County, there is 1 confirmed case. 3 more cases, though, were confirmed by county officials in the last 2 days, but were not reflected in the state's official count. Public health director announced a 4th case of COVID-19 in Sullivan County. The person has been self-quarantining, and county health staff were investigating whether there were additional exposures. County officials released a message to downstate residents asking them not to travel to Sullivan County from areas experiencing community transmission of the coronavirus to avoid spreading the disease. The message also stated they should not expect resources to exist in the county that had been depleted downstate. Quote, should large numbers of individuals move up to Sullivan County while COVID-19 community transmission is occurring, it will quickly overwhelm the health, public safety, and government, unquote, the message read in part. Schoharie County, there are 0 cases as of today, although they announced their first case after the state announced theirs. So Schoharie County, first official case announced Wednesday, March 18th. The county declared a state of emergency on March 16th. With village elections that were scheduled for Wednesday, March 18th, currently in limbo, Middleburg's newest village trustee was appointed to fill the slot of a member in self-quarantine. New trustee Tim Knight and village mayor Matthew Avitable shared a post-appointment celebratory elbow jump online. We hadn't seen this before, but way back on March 5th, which feels like a million years ago, ProPublica reporter Carolyn Chen, who was on the front lines of covering Ebola and lived through SARS, put out a terrific guide for reporters navigating some of the confusion around how we talk about coronavirus. Some solid advice from an outbreak pro: when officials talk about numbers of kits, that doesn't necessarily translate into numbers of people that can be tested. The death rates that people often refer to are estimates, and they can change depending on how we measure and act. For instance, if we only test people who are very sick, we will see high death rates. But probably the most important advice Chen gives is that information in a pandemic changes very, very quickly, and a story only hours old can be out of date by the time the reporter has finished writing it. That's something for us all to bear in mind as we do our best to keep up with the dizzying pace of news. This is Tom Rowe reading the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report for Thursday, March 19th from Melissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley. Go to therivernewsroom.com or theotherhudsonvalley.com for more information.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. For the backbone workers out there getting around this morning, for one thing, thank you. For another, careful driving as a mix of snow blends back into just rain, happening around dawn. Higher elevations, take care, you know how it likes to linger up there. As the day rolls on, temperatures rise from 39 at dawn to 47 around 4 p.m. It tapers off around 2:30. But then it will come back around midnight and continue through the day tomorrow, bringing thunderstorms and some noontime wind gusts with it. On the bright side, tomorrow's high will be 69. The next high tides will be at 12:28 p.m. and tomorrow at 1:04 a.m. The next low tides will be at 6:31 a.m. and at 7:09 p.m. Water temperature will be 41 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:46 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:59 a.m. Looking way up, we see, as we greet the first day of spring, the Earth enters an expected plasma stream, let loose by a freshly opened coronal hole. We also see Comet Atlas, designation C2019Y4, has a chance of becoming visible to the naked eye before possibly taking a solar plunge on May 31st. Solar wind speed is currently 502 kilometers per second at 7.7 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. There have been 9 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Catherine Bauer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with COVID-19 update, how you can help. While there are clear shortfalls in governmental reaction to the COVID-19 outbreak, local citizens are picking up some of the slack. WGXC is attempting to publicize and give a public platform to many local efforts to help. The River Newsroom has a roundup of several local efforts. There is a Facebook group called the Hudson Valley Mutual Aid Network, compiling information in a spreadsheet that will be shared with people trying to help in many different ways. The COVID Child Care Co-op Calendar is a social tool in the Hudson Valley for parents and other caregivers to find child care. The Service Workers Mutual Aid Fund supports furloughed service industry employees who, quote, need funds for food, medical bills, child care, or any other financial stressor, unquote. The COVID-19 Freelance Artist Resources website lists free resources, opportunities, and financial relief available to artists. Sweet Relief provides financial assistance to career musicians facing illness, disability, or age-related problems, and they have set up a new COVID-19 fund. There are links to all these groups at the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org, and please contact info@wgxc.org if you know about other individuals or organizations putting together relief efforts in the Hudson Valley so we can publicize their efforts and get more volunteers.
If only it was so simple. Oh, you want an dibu boot and divili that lono, what an dibu boot and divili that lono, what an dibu boot and divili that lono, what an dibu boot and divili that lono, oh, you want an dibu boot and divili that lono, what an dibu boot and divili that lono, oh, you want an dibu boot and divili that lono, oh, you want an dibu boot and divili that lono, oh, you want.
Welcome, radio listeners. This is Bound by Books, and I am your host, Delina, for today.
Just for today?
Yeah, we're swapping places.
Well, just for today, I'm your other host, Emily.
Yeah. And this is WGXC 90.7
FM. Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Yeah, okay.
Listener-supported radio for open
ears. Never the closed ones.
It'd be really weird if you could close your ears.
Yeah.
Well, like you do your eyes. Yeah. Or you could kind of do it with your nose.
Yeah.
You could definitely do it with your mouth.
Yeah.
Some do it better than others.
Yeah.
But ears you can't really close. You can poke them closed.
You know, you could,
but
like,
but we're not supposed to touch our faces.
You can, oh yeah, because of the coronavirus.
Yes, everyone stays safe out there.
Yeah, and our school is shutting down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Happy, but my teacher gave me a lot of homework. And I don't like my teacher.
Huh?
I don't like my teacher. She gave us a lot of homework, and she always gives us a lot of homework.
Well, she wants to make sure you're learning while you're not in school.
Yeah, but it's only for like 8 days, and she gave us 100 stuff.
Well, we'll see how things go. The library's closed as well.
Oh,
through the end of the month.
She's right.
Gonna miss seeing everybody at the library.
I'm going to miss you, Emily.
But I hope everybody stays safe and hope everyone has lots of good reading material at home.
Yeah, I'm probably not even going to read at all.
Not at all? Because of all your homework?
Yeah, but like technically I'm kind of reading because I have to read Beat This Story Drum, my science book. So technically, but I'm mad. She gave us a lot of math. She gave us like the rest of the math packet for homework, and she explained like one page of every single of it, and like we get one page like for each lesson, but like she's giving us the rest of the packet, and like that's like 4 pages. I need to check if that's actually the right amount. And also, are we even going to have the show next week?
Yeah, we have to figure out what we're doing with the show.
Yeah, because aren't we being quarantined technically?
We're not being quarantined.
We're only
at least yet, but we might want to move to a virtual recording of the show, because with just the two of us, it's okay in the studio, but if all of us are here, it'd be kind of tight, and we like talking with our friends about books.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do a online chat recording.
Okay, download Discord. That's actually a chat. Yeah.
Look into it.
You can, like, group chat.
I do want to quickly, while we're talking about the library being closed and a lot of people being stuck at home, just highlight the library resources that you can get online if you have internet capability, either on your smartphone or on a computer. We have on our website, hudsonarealibrary.org. The very top of that in the menu, there's a research tab and it says online databases, and you can find all sorts of things in there. You can get ebook and e-audiobooks and streaming video and e-magazines. You can take classes online, continuing education classes through Universal Class. There's language learning possibilities with Mango Languages. You can work on your resume on Job Help Now.
Wait, Mango Languages. There are languages to speak to mangoes.
I wish.
Oh.
The product is called Mango.
Oh, okay.
And it's little... It's got a little mango character that, like, tries to encourage you to learn a language. They have all sorts of languages in there. It's pretty cool.
I think I should get Mango because Duolingo doesn't even encourage me. It's like, oh, hey, you're doing well. You're kind of useless, but you're doing well. And I'm learning Spanish. Well, actually, I was, because I don't learn it at all because, like, it doesn't encourage me to do it. Oh,
yeah, it's hard to find the right fit sometimes. It's different ways to learn languages. I find the best ways kind of talking with people.
Oh,
like
okay.
If you know people that speak Spanish, which I know you do.
Yeah, because I live with them, but I still don't know how to speak Spanish because, like, I listen to them, but I don't think I do it. Hmm. Maybe, I don't think so.
Yeah. But anyways, you should check out our online resources if you're wanting to access some interesting books and movies and
stuff,
classes and things during this time. And if you don't have a library card yet, just as of this week, they launched a way that you can get a library card online. So if you go to the library catalog page, the very top, there's a little link where it says get a library card, and you can sign up for a card that will work for all the online resources. It won't work to get things at the library. You would then have to come in and get a physical card if you want to check out things at the library. But while we're closed, if you want to access resources and you don't have a library card, you can sign up for one there. So check it out.
Yeah.
So do you have any suggestions for people out there listening on books that they should read during these next weeks at home?
Not yet, but I have to text my mom.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions, Emily?
There's all sorts of books. So people have been telling me to make sure to stock up, but I have so many books at my house, both library books and my own books that I own that I haven't read yet. I am at no risk of running out of books. But even still, I borrowed a whole pile of books this week to take home before the library closed. So I couldn't help myself. I just kept seeing ones that I was like, ooh, I want to read that one. And it's a big mix. It's a mix of young adult literature. I have at least one middle grade comic book. I've got some adult fiction. I've got some poetry. What else? Oh, I got one in that sounds really cool. I can read you the description if I remember what it's called. Let's see. So it's a book for adults, so I don't know for sure how appropriate it is for young readers, but I will report back once I've read it. It is called We Ride Upon Sticks, a novel by Quan Berry, and I'll read the description. It's 1989, and the Danvers High School women's field hockey team is staring down another losing season, but things start to look up when the team's goalie discovers a book that will change both the course of the season as well as each player's life. Fact. In 1692, a handful of young girls interested in divining the nature of their futures brought devastating consequences to what was then known as Salem Village. Fact. 300 years later, Salem Village is now the town of Danvers, and these teen girls are just as wily and original as their ancestors. If hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, then Boston's North Shore is about to discover what lengths 11 teen girls will go to win a state championship, uncovering their true selves and bucking convention along the way. We Ride Upon Sticks and Are There Presently presents a portrait of teen girldom in all its furious messiness, from big hair to heathers to coming into one's glorious own despite society's stale notions of femininity. So I'm excited about this book because I played field hockey in high school and loved it, and I never come across field hockey in books. And so I saw this book was coming out where it's like a field hockey team that are a bunch of witches. That sounded pretty cool. There's also another book coming out later this month by Siobhan Vivian, which is also about a girls' field hockey team.
Oh.
And that one is called We Are the Wildcats, I believe.
So We Are the Wildcats.
Yeah, We Are the Wildcats by Siobhan Vivian. So that's coming out, I think it's March 31st. And that description reads, and this is a book for teens. A toxic coach finds himself outplayed by the high school girls on his team in this deeply suspenseful novel, which unspools over 24 hours through six diverse perspectives. Tomorrow, the Wildcat varsity field hockey squad will play the first game of their new season. But at tonight's team sleepover, the girls are all about forging the bonds of trust, loyalty, and friendship necessary to win. Everything hinges on the midnight initiation ceremony, a beloved tradition and the only facet of being a Wildcat that the girls control. Until now. Coach, a handsome former college player, revered and feared in equal measure, changes the plan and spins his team on a new adventure. One where they take a rival team's mascot for a joyride, crash a party in their pajamas, break into the high school for the perfect picture. But as the girls slip out of their comfort zone, so do some long-held secrets. And just how far they're willing to go for their team takes them all, especially Coach, by surprise. A testament to the strength and resilience of modern teenage girls, We Are the Wildcats will have readers cheering. So yeah, two field hockey books in 1 month. Go team.
Ooh, yay.
Field hockey. I just ordered myself that as a book today. So get that at the end of the month.
Okay.
So I'll report back on my field hockey
reads.
So you have a suggestion?
Yes.
Of a book or some books?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts, Guts.
So all of Raina Telgemeier?
Yes.
Are there any Raina Telgemeier books that you've read that you haven't liked?
Well, I used to not like drama and ghosts because I thought it was weird, but I actually ended up liking them because, like, I didn't know what it was about, and I got too confused, and also I'm like, this is weird. His brother, what? I don't get this. I didn't get it.
Have you read the Babysitter Club ones?
I don't like those.
I haven't read them.
Me neither.
I still need to read Ghost too, because I know that's your favorite.
Oh yeah, that is my favorite. Now that you've mentioned it, now I want to tell you something. I want to get ghosts now.
Now?
Yeah.
Like right now?
Yeah, like right now, but I can't find my keys to my house, which is where I hold my, you know the keys that you can attach?
Oh, that has your library card on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that has my library card on it, and I can't find it.
It's too bad you don't know anyone at the library who could, like, help you get a book.
Oh, I'm sorry, Emily. I'm sorry that I didn't acknowledge you. Oh, wait. I'm acknowledging you right now.
Oh, phew.
But still, you have to read Ghosts. It's really, really good.
But I can't because you're going to check it out of the library. So
yeah,
but get
like, after I read
after
it.
After you're done?
And also, it makes you hungry because they mention food a lot and drinks. It makes you really thirsty.
Yum.
It makes you water hungry when you read it.
Comics, I think, are very effective with making you hungry.
Yeah,
because they have such pretty, like, beautiful food pictures.
Yeah. And to make you even more hungry, go into the cooking section.
Yeah, that'll do it too.
Yeah.
I like a good cookbook. I don't make recipes out of them very often, but I like looking at all the pictures.
Yeah. So what else was I going to mention? Oh, New Kid. That one's a good one. They made
New Kid's great.
Yeah, they made a parody of some shows and movies, I think.
Oh yeah, so each of the chapters.
Yeah. It's like New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, something like that. Like New Kid on the Block.
I can't remember.
The Hunger Games. Yes, The Hunger Games. Like he was in the cafeteria and the chapter was labeled The Hunger Games.
Wasn't it The Hungry Games?
Yeah, it was The Hunger Games.
I thought it was The Hungry.
No.
I thought they changed it.
No, it's The Hunger Games.
Okay.
Well, and this
I believe
one,
you.
And this one, it
or
says
do I?
The Emily, in this one, it says The Hunger Games. This is probably like a year old book, but like, but it's too late to change it now because like half of the school has already read it and they're like, I love the book New Kid. It's so great. And I'm over here like, yeah, I'm hungry. Can you please give me food?
Guess what?
What?
There's another New Kid book coming out.
Show me. Class Act.
There's no description yet that I'm seeing, but it says at the top, when school gets real, you can still show the world you're a class act.
Wait, can I see the, oh, that looks cool.
That's exciting. I don't know if there's a date yet.
Maybe it...
In October, it looks like.
Oh, I think it's not about Jordan this time. I think is what his name is. It's about his best friend who calls him, like, dog or something like that. I forgot what his name was.
Like his friend from home or his friend from school?
His friend from, like, the new fancy prestigious
from the new school.
Huh. Where they all say, Big Bok Cheerio!
They say that?
No.
I don't remember that.
That's how I think they talk.
Bip bop chivio.
And also,
I don't think anyone talks like that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone.
What if there's one person in the world that talks like that and they're listening right now?
Oh no,
and they're
sorry.
Like, why are they making fun of me?
We're sorry. Well, like I stole this from a video about someone who is doing a British impression. So sorry, all British people.
Bip bop bop.
Like they were doing a British impression. Yeah. Like sorry. Please don't come at us.
Please don't come at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, what else?
We're out of time. Just kidding.
Not quite. We're close.
Oh, darn it.
But I'm trying to think if there's any books I'd suggest people read. I guess I would suggest, and the fact that people might not be able to get books because the library's closed or they don't feel like buying a book, they might be limited to what's on their bookshelves.
Oh, no.
But this is a good time to be like, what books do I have here that I've never read?
Oh, no.
Or that I want to read again.
Most of the books they have on my bookshelf are books that I don't even like.
Like, maybe you should get rid of them.
Yeah, but like they're mostly my siblings' books, and I'm like, why do you have these on my shelf? Because it's my room. When
maybe they were like, we want to pass these on to you because you're the age that
no, my brother has the Percy Jackson series. He already read it, and he's like, no, you can't throw this out. They're too valuable, even though like they probably still sell it and you could put it at second show and like it's someone else's second show or something like that.
I understand wanting to hold on to some books though. Like I definitely have a shelf or two maybe of books I probably have three shelves of books that
do you at least I've like read, reread it
but that I love, so I want to hold on to.
Do you at least reread it? Because he doesn't.
Occasionally I have some books I don't reread very often, but that doesn't mean I never will. But I have some books that I've reread.
Well, my brother doesn't reread them, which makes me mad because then I have to hold that on my shelf. And he's like, Lena, you should read it. And I'm like, no, they're your books. I don't want them. And he's like, fine, I'll keep them. And then like he tells us not to throw it out.
Do you have any hand-me-down books that you've read that you've liked?
No, most of my books weren't hand-me-downs, or else they'd have Calvin or Cecile crossed out, because one of the books that I loved as a kid was, like, Girl Who Dressed Up as a Pink Fairy, and they crossed out her name, and they put Lena there, and Lena dressed up as a pink fairy. She told, and then, like, they'd cross out the big brother's name and put it for Calvin. And then
wait, throughout the book?
Yeah, they, like, cross out the names of the original names and then put, like, the names of our family there. Or, like, so it could be, like, based off of true events. Something like that.
Of Lena the fairy.
Yes, Lena.
The Lena the fairy who dressed in pink.
Yes.
Bip bop cheerio.
Oh, my God.
That was her magic spell.
Oh, my God. Everyone's going to be, who says that is going to come at us.
I really don't think anyone says that.
Like, it's in an old video. It was like The Odd Ones Out, and he's a YouTuber. Did the computer shut down because it has coronavirus?
Anyways.
We're out of time.
No. So, I also had have an older sibling.
Oh.
And I got a lot of, I guess, I don't know if they were hand-me-down books. Like, we definitely both had our own books, but then there were some books that were like, the house books.
Wait, how many do you have? I have two. One's a girl and one's a boy.
I have one sister, an older sister.
Oh, well, I'm the youngest in the family because I am the last to be born. My sister was born in 1999. My brother was born in 2000. And I was born in 2010. So my sister and brother are like really close because like they're like 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Well, I'm over here, like, being 10 and 11 years apart from them, and I'm like, hey, I know that you're shorter than me, but don't forget about me.
Oh, yeah, my sister and I are 2 years up, 3 years up. I can't remember how old she is.
Oh, my God.
I think we're 2 years apart, but it depends, because, you know, we're born in different months, so it's not an exact.
Oh.
But we're 2 years apart.
Oh, well, it's not exact for me and my sister, even though we're born on the same month. Because we were born on different days. And the way I thought of it, when I was younger, I was older than her since my birthday came before hers somehow. I don't know how I did the math for that.
Did you ever read the Ramona books? Or the Beezus and Ramona books?
No.
So there are these books by Beverly Cleary that were popular when I was a kid. And Ramona was the little sister and Beezus was the older sister. And reading it, I feel like I definitely always related more to Ramona because she was the little sister. And I wonder if my sister reading it, if she always related to Beezus, the older sister.
Oh. You want to know what reminds with Beezus?
Sure.
Okay, never mind. I forgot.
Do you find yourself doing that in reading books when there's sibling characters that
relate?
Do you automatically relate to the younger one, even if the older is more like you?
No, I actually automatically relate to the bigger one because to me, like, I don't think of myself as annoying. Like, I think...
The younger sister's not always annoying in books.
But, like, most of the books that I've read, they're annoying. But, like, in Ghosts, the younger sister isn't actually annoying. She's actually, like, nice, kind, and energetic, the opposite of me. Well, actually, I'm nice and kind, but, like, I'm not energetic. I'm lazy. I'm over here watching Steven Universe, eating my Takis, and I'm like, Mom, can we get McDonald's? No, that's enough.
I just want to say for the record that older siblings can be annoying as well. Don't you think?
No, because your they're older, nice
your
to
siblings
me.
Are never annoying.
Well, my
your entire lifetime well, they've never been annoying. I mean, I love my sister. Don't get me wrong. I don't find her annoying anymore.
I love,
but as a kid, she could be annoying.
I love my parents. Not my parents.
Well, you don't love your parents?
I do love them.
Don't listen.
I do love them. But, like, my siblings, the one who I found annoying was my brother, and I still find him annoying because he...
Shout out to Calvin.
Yeah, but I find it him annoying because he's not annoying. It, like, like, it's annoying how he always wins in every single Minecraft game. We gotta kill him. Like, in the Minecraft game, not in real life. Police don't come after me. Like, I mean, like, in the Minecraft game.
No, I know
because,
what you
like,
mean.
I accidentally killed my sister in the
Minecraft. In a game.
Yeah.
You have to quickly say in a game after saying words
and,
like that.
Yeah, in a game, like, and then, my brother was chasing me, and I was, like, it was basically, like, punching, but I had a sword in my hand, and then I accidentally killed my sister in Minecraft, which is a game, and then my brother started catching up to me, and she's like, oh my god, Calvin killed me, because he wasn't that far away from me, and, like, he was starting to hit me, and I'm like, oh no, actually, I accidentally killed you in a game in Minecraft. And so I was like, oh no, I'm sorry, Cece. And she was like, how dare you? And I was like, it was an accident. I was running. Who knows? What if I needed to turn around? And she was like on one heart.
That reminds me of a game that I like that is not a computer-based game. It's a tabletop game using cards.
What
that
is it?
Is called Gloom.
Gloom?
I was just thinking about how I really like it because it's a game where you're playing against people. And people die in the game.
Oh, no.
But your goal in the game is you have different characters that are in your family and the other person has characters from their family. And your goal is to play cards on your family members that tell a story about their really gloomy, awful life. And then to eventually have them die and had a really bad life. Whereas you're trying to play happy cards on your opponent. So you would have a family of characters and I would be playing things like, she went to the park and she fell in love. And so instead of killing your sister, you can kill her with kindness.
Oh, and then she died because she fell in love.
In the pond. Well, you could play that card on your own hand.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I like it. I haven't played it in a long time. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Sometime maybe. Soon. I like those little storytelling games. They're fun. But anyways...
We're out of time.
Oh, no.
I don't want to have out of time, Emily.
You don't
want to
have out of time?
Yeah, I don't. I want this to last forever.
I want this to last forever.
Yeah, okay.
We're taking over the airwaves. From now on, WGXE is just Emily and Lena talking about books and stuff.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. Anyways, but we'll be back in some capacity or another next week.
Yeah, we will be back on digital, virtual, internigital chat. Just kidding. Never mind. I don't think so.
But we hope everyone out there has a good week, stays safe and healthy, reads lots of good books, and
they have a fun time and don't get the coronavirus.
Yes. True, true.
Yeah.
But have a good week and happy reading.
Happy reading. Bye.
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 Shout out to Amelia and AJ.
Yes. And Cecile and Calvin.
And Sarah.
Oh, bye. Yeah. Bye.
And Lena's parents, who she loves so much.
Yes.
I love my parents, course. Too. Bye.
Bye.
boy, Jedi, I'm yours even if time has passed. Take me away from this impetuous world.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter W. Bone of Gilboa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Oregon State University's map tracking illness in the United States has gotten much attention the past few days. The map gathers the Kinza network of smart thermometers' temperature readings to track where people are getting fevers across the country. The map does not track coronavirus, but where people have high body temperatures, which might have a correlation. Right now, it shows observed illness levels are moderate throughout the Hudson Valley, but atypical illness levels seem to be rising locally. Atypical illness levels are, quote, the amount of unexpected illness in this area, expressed as additional share of the population affected by influenza-like illness above the expected values, unquote. Hudson Valley counties all have numbers above expected right now, except for Greene County, where there is, quote, insufficient data, unquote. Greene County officials have provided little information to the media about their efforts or any local information about COVID-19. Abby Hoover is reporting for Columbia Greene Media that the City of Hudson officials have put out a request for proposals from architectural firms knowledgeable about the accessibility requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act, City ADA Coordinator Michael Comedes said March 16th. The city is looking to hire an independent licensed architect and an accessibility firm to survey city facilities and sites to identify barriers and to assist in the development of the city's transition plan to remediate those barriers, Comedes said. The scope of the work includes a wide range of projects, from room identification signage to reconstructing accessible routes in parking spaces, city facilities, and parks. It will also include ease of access to participate in programs and services and intends to make people of all abilities feel safe when traveling throughout the city's intersections. The city is on track to hire the selected candidate by late April, and Comedes said he wants to see work begin as soon as possible. The ADA transition plan is scheduled to be in place by August, but it may be impacted by the current state of emergency in Hudson. Quote, ADA accessibility is an important project, unquote, said Public Works Commissioner Peter Bujanal, who is managing the request for proposals. Quote, I'm happy to be contributing to our community, unquote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane Board of Education at a public meeting in early March approved a motion critical of its member Jeffrey Olouette. Olouette, during a policy committee meeting in January, made a statement critical of a district student. The student's mother alleged the comment suggested her son was using drugs. According to the board motion, Olouette made the remarks during a committee discussion about a student serving as a non-voting member of the board. Quote, the, quote, statements were heard by members of the public and were brought to the attention of the student Mr. Olouette was discussing, unquote, according to the board statement. The student's mother said her son was, quote, defamed and was insulted, unquote, and his family has asked that Olouette resign. Board President Matthew Nelson said at the meeting that he did not give the board, quote, an advance reading, unquote, of the motion, and it was not included in the meeting agenda. The board discussed the legal issues involved with removing a board member. It was learned that the process is adversarial and would involve the state education commissioner, but the 30-day deadline for action has passed, Nelson said. Quote, we have all asked our fellow board member to step down, unquote, he said. Olouette did not comment at the meeting and later told a reporter he would not comment on a non-agenda item. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that three entrepreneurs March 16th presented to the Greene County legislature the idea of making Catskill the new home of the Wrestling Hall of Fame. The presentation was made by Catskill native Michael Lanuto, former Saugerty School District Superintendent Seth Turner, and Tony Villano, the founder of the International Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame was founded in 1999 in Schenectady. He moved to Amsterdam in 2002 and then to Wichita Falls, Texas in 2016. Villano said he was unhappy with how the hall was managed in Texas and that East Coast residents wanted the attraction to make a comeback. The site was under consideration by the group is the Freightmeister's building at historic Catskill Point, Greene County. Treasurer Peter Marcoux voiced his objection to the location. Quote, the point is a major county asset, and as the treasurer and chief financial officer of the county, I would be remiss in my fiduciary duty if I did not try to protect it. It belongs to the people, unquote, Marcoux said. Lanuto said the group wants to preserve the historic nature of the building, quote, but right now it's dying, unquote, Lanuto said. Quote, we just want to breathe some life into that baby, unquote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories at WGXC in the newsroom at WGXC.org. This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Marianne Schmidt reports for the Columbia paper that Art Omai in Ghent wants to expand its Benison Center to include more office and gallery space, as well as a service entrance. But some on the town planning board want more regulation at the park. Art Omai wants to expand from one art gallery to three, and there could be 10 to 30 additional participants per week in the workshops at the sculpture park. Some local residents said they did not like the type of people that visit the park. Lorraine Massey of Conacher Road said that, quote, the problem that we are seeing is that a lot of traffic is not local people. This is a rural farm community, and as such, people who are not familiar with it don't understand the impact they have on the residents there, unquote. Others disagreed. Town council person Mallory Mort said, quote, I've lived here 40 years. I have a really difficult time placing a whole lot of responsibility on Art Omai. The increase in traffic in this county has been tremendous since it has become a hub of agritourism. People have always driven too fast on Route 22, unquote. Art Omai has increased from around 14,000 visitors in 2015 to about 30,000 in 2019. The public hearing on the matter was supposed to be taken back up April 1st, but anyone interested may be better off now sending comments to the Town of Ghent Planning Board at P.O. Box 98, Ghent, New York, 12075, or emailing Board Chair Jeffrey French at gfrench@townofghent.org. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Bill Williams reports for Columbia Green Media that at a time when police and rescue squads are under extra insecurity, 25-year-old woman from Delaware County needed rescue at Cotterskill State Forest Preserve in Tannersville on March 18th. DEC Forest Rangers and fire departments from Tannersville, Palinville, Centerville, and the Twin Cloves Rope Rescue Team responded with help. The woman is being treated for injuries from a 40-foot fall. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
I am Thomas Kearney. I am Capital Region Organizer for RAP, Release Aging People in Prison Campaign. And what I do is basically organize those affected by mass incarceration in the Capital Region. Basically organizing around two bills that we have in the legislature right now, which is elder parole and fair and timely parole.
Fair and timely parole, that's what you said, right?
Yes.
So what is the state of your campaign? It's called RAP.
It stands for Release Aging People in Prison.
So what is the status of the campaign right now in light of the restriction on public meetings?
We're fighting through it. We're doing virtual meetings right now. We're going through lists of legislators that haven't signed on yet to our legislation and trying to set up meetings with them by phone. But I mean, we're pushing forward as strongly as we can. And we're looking at this now. I mean, what it basically did was invigorated us. It gave us, the crisis gave us energy to try and to look at this as a humanitarian issue and try and get elders out as soon as possible, because those are going to be the people that die behind the wall if they're not released.
Thomas, I have so many questions for you about this. I'm curious about whether this was an issue that the legislature had planned to deal with in the budget, or was it a matter that they were going to take up separate and apart from the budget?
We're not absolutely sure how they were trying to, we're trying to get it in both ways. I mean, any way that we could, but at this point, I mean, nothing certain.
What kind of reception are you getting from lawmakers that you're trying to talk to on the phone? Are they saying to you, you know, look, I'm too preoccupied with the budget and with COVID-19, go away for a while? Or are they actually responsive to your calls?
I mean, we have responsive legislators. The legislators that we expect to be responsive are giving us time, and the ones that we don't expect, of course, aren't.
Are lawmakers understanding that your bill, you know, your demands of them are actually part and parcel of a comprehensive COVID-19 response?
That's what we're trying to frame right now. We're hoping to make them understand that as clearly as possible, because, I mean, like I said before, looking at this as a humanitarian issue, it's those people who are older and those people who have compromised immune systems, whether it be Hep C, HIV, or lung disease, in that congested area that the prison system is, I mean, it's inevitable that we're going to see deaths. So you know, we're pushing the idea that what the governor should do right now, not the legislator, we're putting it in the governor's hands right now to start granting clemencies.
Every day the governor holds at least one, sometimes more, press conferences to talk about the state's response to COVID-19. I have not yet heard anything from the governor on prisons and jails. Do you know what the city and the state are doing to protect those who are incarcerated?
Well, we've heard two things from the governor concerning prisons and jails. One is to lock them down and stop letting visitors in. And two is to force prisoners to mass produce hand sanitizer for the outside world that they can't even have access to. In our view, it's disgusting.
I'm sorry, can you say that last part again?
In our view, that's disgusting.
Do you know for sure that rules have not been relaxed to allow prisoners to have access to that hand sanitizer? What are you hearing about that?
We've heard nothing about the rules being relaxed, and we have zero confidence that they will be. I mean, the hand sanitizer is made up of mostly alcohol, which is contraband. So, I mean, the idea that they would suddenly give this to prisoners is it's just not going to happen. I mean, I was in prison when swine flu came out, and we had absolutely no access to the hand sanitizer that the prison guards had access to. It was horrible.
What are some of the ways that you're getting people to be active on